Welcome back. This is the Totally Transformed Podcast, part three in the series on the root of rejection. And so glad you're with us here today. My name is Lance Borden, and I'm here with Dr. Connie Borden here at Totally Transformed Ministries. And if you haven't listened to the first two parts on the root of rejection, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to part one and part two before this installment, which is part three, and actually episode four of the Totally Transformed Podcast in total. So where did we leave off last time, and where are we going this time?
Well, what we're going to do this time is what we referred to in those first two podcasts is what are some really clear experiences that will leave you rejected, that will give you a root of rejection, that will cause you to believe lies about who you are, where you came from, and where you're going instead of the truth in the Word, because you are living life through these wounds. And I just want to refer to a verse that I think we mentioned in one of the first two, John 8:34-36. Jesus replied, "Verily I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." And here's the problem. We don't want to be sinners when we're saved. If you're truly saved, your heart was transformed to have a desire to please the Lord. But if you don't understand this part that we're ministering to, that you're wounded and hurt, and therefore you feel so much pain on the inside, or so rejected, even though you're saved, and you know according to Ephesians 1:6 that you're accepted in the Beloved, but you respond and react mostly, reaction being more emotion than the situation calls for and you're not handling it, to the fact that you're wounded and you react out of that understanding of thinking, imagining, and remembering rather than the truth of your salvation. And that is a scheme of the enemy, because 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Do not be ignorant of his schemes." But the wounded soul is often exactly that, ignorant. And that's why we said in the last podcast, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And so what we want to do in this podcast is just name some ways. People listening to us may come up with another way, because it can be something pretty simple or it can be something pretty not so simple. But here's just a list we came up with that come through my door every day as clients that we would like to talk, we'd like to list, and then maybe talk a little bit more on this podcast to make people aware, to inform them. If you've experienced any of these things, you could be carrying wounds on the inside of you, recorded in your mind that thinks, imagines, and remembers your will and emotions that are a segue for the enemy to work through, and your heart may be broken. I believe people can die from a broken heart and so much rejection that they either have a mental collapse eventually, or they become a criminal because they're so angry that they take their anger when someone else has hurt them over and over on somebody else. And that's why we have so much rage. I call it the rage of self-pity, because you're so angry and you say, "Wait, I didn't really deserve to be treated this way." Sometimes kids all the time are innocent if they've been abused. And then something happens in your adult life, like somebody cuts you off in traffic, somebody takes a gun out and shoots them. That offense is not proportionate to what they did. That is not proportionate. But nonetheless, that person that did it, trust me, has been wounded over and over again, rejected over and over again, stuffed anger that went in this process. Hurt, anger, resentment, bitterness, rebellion. And they're so rebellious, they can't submit to authority. They can't be nice. They don't care who they kill. They come against police officers. That's where a lot of our society is, and we can see it so clearly, correct?
So, right. It's so clear. Well, actually, sometimes it's not so clear, but the end result is clear.
That's what I mean. The behavior is clear.
Right.
You know, why did that person do that? We're just in disbelief.
Yeah.
We're explaining why.
Right.
Okay.
So the following are just some of the more prevalent ways the dysfunctional relationships result in the wounding of souls. So I'm just going to read the list.
Okay.
Sexual abuse, physical abuse, an absent parent through divorce, an absent parent through death, an alcoholic parent, a mentally ill parent, perfectionist parent. Boy, there's a lot of that out there, right?
Yeah.
Parents that work all the time and are absent from their children or their activities.
Let me go back to the perfectionist parent. What we mean there is parents and society get so caught up in performing and grades and athletics and winning that we grab a picture that we're not accepted unless we're winning all the time, or we can't ever make a mistake. Or if we do, we get berated by the coach or parents or teachers. Okay, so go ahead.
Parents who favor one sibling over another and compare them to each other. Siblings who reject other siblings. Sustaining an illness without quality care from your caregiver. Legalistic parents that love a child only when the child performs according to their religious rules. Parents who praise a child only when the child achieves. Parents that pursue and value wealth, fame, or anything more than their children. Parents who attack a child's person or character. I'm glad you're not asking me to raise my hand if I've ever been guilty of any of these things.
Well,
as a parent.
Listen, nobody's a perfect parent, but let me just say on that last one, we have to train and correct our children, but we need to go after what they did wrong, not call them lazy and liars and disobedient. They have done those things, but we don't want to attack who they are. Okay?
Okay, going on in the list. Parents who fight or abuse each other in front of their children. Parents who have an affair while married to a child's mother or father. Parents who don't provide food, warmth, security, love, or affection. Parents who claim to be Christians but don't live a Christian life in front of their children. Parents who are very impatient with their children's mistakes and criticize them continually. Parents who are always in a hurry and never slow down long enough to enjoy or focus on their children's needs.
I call that the hurry-up syndrome.
Oh, that's so easy
to fall
into. So
prevalent in the 21st century.
Yep. Yep. Parents who force a child to pursue a career they wanted. In other words, living vicariously through them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parents who wanted a boy and had a girl, or vice versa, so they reject the child of the gender they didn't want. Parents who don't demonstrate grace and forgiveness for themselves or toward other family members. Parents who ignore their children, making them feel it is very hard to get an audience with them because others, their cell phone, social media, and so on, preoccupies them, and it is clear their parents would rather focus on those things. Parents who don't make and plan quality time and focused attention regularly on each child, if there's multiple children. Parents who do not pray with their children or train them spiritually, thinking others will take over that responsibility, like Sunday school or church.
And let me just say about that, it isn't that we can't use other people to support what we're doing in our spiritual training, but these things are often caught, not taught. What is important to you will be important to your children. So if you have a school bus that picks them up and takes them to Sunday school, they never see you reading your Bible, they never see you praying, they never see you worshiping the Lord, they basically conclude it's not important to you, because it isn't. It's not a priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you.
You know, and kids pick up more, their spirits, I believe, pick up more than we realize.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes I'll be having devotions and one of my kids will come in and I'll just read the Bible, even though it's not the children's Bible that's necessarily
right.
On their level.
Right.
It goes into their spirits.
Yeah,
still.
Ann Ortland wrote a book, Children Are Wet Cement. Think about that. You put your footprint in wet cement, it stays. Children, your impressions on what you do, what you say, who you are, makes a deep impression on your children.
Okay, going on with the list, parents who don't protect their children from danger. One parent is abusive and the other parent doesn't do anything about it.
Which
example.
Is a double rejection. Because you know that the other parent maybe knows a child is being sexually, physically, or verbally abused. Usually that other parent is scared to death, that abusive parent. But you need to get out of there, get in a shelter, move away, and protect that child or those children.
Going on, parents who are too lenient and provide no rules, or those that are too harsh and discipline and control their children too much. And then finally, always using negative reinforcement to train a child instead of balancing it with positive reinforcement or rewards for good behavior.
So I'm sure, Lance, those that are listening to this podcast, we maybe mentioned you in the list of what you've experienced. and maybe we didn't.
Or perpetrated.
Yeah, perpetrated. Right.
You may be guilty. I know that I've been guilty of some of those things as a parent.
Right. And the good news is, again, what you recognize and what you're convicted of, not guilty and ashamed about. Satan makes you feel guilty and ashamed. I could never be free. That's the past. It's too late. He is a liar. It's never too late. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And if you repent of those things, either because you were the perpetrator or perpetrated upon, what I'm asking you to repent for, because we're going to go into this in another chapter on confession or another podcast on confession and forgiveness. But sometimes what we don't realize is when we're perpetrated upon, if we leave the anger, the resentment, the fear, the reaction in our heart, and don't come to terms with that and confess that and forgive our offender, that's the primary foundation of healing that we're going to talk about in more detail, then your heart could be clogged up from what happened to you that was not your fault, but you still have to deal with your heart, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. So it isn't wrong that you're going to react. If someone rejects you and hurts you badly, you're going to feel it. You're human. Jesus felt it. He wept. He got angry at the Pharisees and Sadducees. He went through it, but you notice he went to the hill and prayed often, and I believe received healing for these things and gave those reactions. Well, he was perfect, so maybe he never reacted. I don't know exactly, but the bottom line is he was clear.
Well, he obviously had to deal with the rejection, and right. You can deal with the rejection without sinning.
That's what I'm saying.
But he still had to process.
That's what I'm saying. You don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let these things stay and be stuffed and stuffed and stuffed. And I think Jesus experienced everything as we did, because that's what it says in the Word, so he will understand and not be unacquainted with what we're going through. So therefore, that means he had to get rid of these things out of his heart when, like John the Baptist's head was cut off. I mean, can you imagine? He's the one that baptized him.
And his cousin. He was a family member.
Right. And on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He had to deal with those things and give them back to the Father, just like we're asking the listeners to do as well.
Once a child is rejected at home in any of the ways that we just mentioned, he is more vulnerable to rejection at school, at church, and, you know, throughout his life. And wherever there are people and relationships, there can be those that reject and wound us through their actions and words. So it's almost like we're set up for further rejection every time we're rejected.
Well, that's the problem. You have a strong foundation, like if you're building a building, or if you use cracked cement or cement that's going to crack, and inferior products in building a building physically, when the winds and rains and storms comes, it's not going to stand as well. And that's a picture of us as children that grow up with these cracked foundations of being rejected, hurt, and wounded. So then we go out and try to navigate adult life, where we start to be in a world lost without Christ, or even sometimes in places where people know Christ. But if hurt people hurt people, and you're around people that don't know what we're telling everybody, then it's a vicious cycle of people loving to be loved, reacting, rather than flowing in the unity that Psalm says that commands the blessing.
So if you seek to soothe your wounds through other means, like, say, sports or hobbies or work, the enemy will make sure you feel rejected in those settings as well, right?
Right.
And moreover, if you feel rejected and you're hurting, you can go on to very destructive things like sexual sin or drugs, or even more benign things that are still placating those wounds, like busyness or workaholism, that are having a very destructive impact on your life and the lives of others, to continue the cycle of rejection in your family.
Because the problem is, you think, okay, I don't want to feel this pain on the inside. And some people just check out through drugs or alcohol. Some people do things like actually pulling out their hair or their eyebrows or cutting themselves, because that pain that they inflict on themselves feels better and placates or reduces the bad pain that they feel on the inside. And then some people go on to socially acceptable things to fill the void, but the problem is you're depending on the world and the arm of flesh that will fail you. So some days you may be successful and applauded, the next day you may be rejected and criticized. And therefore your life is a roller coaster of feeling good and bad, depending on if you perform well or don't, rather than being consistently, I'm accepted, I'm freed, I'm forgiven, I'm in, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And then you go on pursuing righteousness and obedience that He has already imputed to you so that you can be blessed and victorious.
So what if you would rather just leave these things in the past and not deal with them? I mean, you know, what do you say to someone that says, you know, these were bad things that happened to me. I don't even like to think about them, but I recognize the negative impact it's having in my life. So what do you say to someone like that would kind of rather just bury it, you know, and move on, if you will? Is that even possible?
Yeah, well, we actually have five reasons that we don't want to heal these wounds. You've said a couple of them. We'd rather procrastinate. I'll do that or take care of that some other time. Another one is we make excuses for our behavior problems rather than facing them head on. We blame others or even the devil for our actions and then accept them. Like you just said, we allow our lives to become so busy, sometimes even with good things, that we don't take time or have time, or we don't think we have time to take a deep look at ourselves. We don't want to face the pain of dealing with our hurts. And last but not least, what we're trying to fix, we don't know what is wrong and how to become free, how to get there, where the hurt is, what's the process, what do we do, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge in that Hosea 4:6 that you mentioned last time. And so they are really deceiving themselves, I'm sorry to say, because they go on in a roller coaster up and down existence. They're not stable. They're not clear about God's love. The enemy can lie to them and make them feel like God's even mad at them and rejecting them. He can cut them off from their source. He can cause them not to be around other believers. And so you may think it's the past and you don't have to deal with it and you're getting away with it. But look at your life. What is wrong with your life? I'm saved, so what's wrong with me? If you're absolutely flowing and going in the Word, and you're free and victorious, and you're experiencing what are the blessings of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit, that's the kingdom of God, then, you know, maybe you don't need this message. I don't know too many people like that. I wish I did, and I wish they were I wish it represented the church. And some churches are healthier than others, like ours at Gateway, because we provide this kind of freedom ministry in a two-day seminar and try to address the soul and the heart in order for people to be healed there so they can be further equipped and significant and serve. But so many churches don't even provide counseling, let alone a Christian and biblical perspective of what's wrong and how to fix it.
So if this is keying in on something for you, if it's revealing something that you maybe didn't know that was there, or maybe you've known it was there all along and you want help to get healing and freedom, then first of all, we'd like to invite you to pray with us here in a few seconds, but also connect with us on our website, totallytransformed.org. Or you can call us at 972-800-3930. So,
and you know, Lance, there's really two great ways to be healed. People that receive the prayer that we're praying right now could be healed. We don't know if they were healed of one trauma or 15. I've been healed sovereignly, knew there was a major change on the inside of me. And then I've been healed from going through a process of remembering the traumas I experienced and going through confession and forgiveness and healing and calling down lies that we're going to explain in subsequent podcasts. But God is sovereignly a healer. He is the great physician. He bled and died because by His stripes you are healed, and He came to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are bound.
So let's pray.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that anyone that's listening to our voice, Lord, I want to do for them in a few minutes what I have done with many. We just let the bad feelings come up, the hurts from being wounded and rejected. We confess to you the anger, the fear, the anxiety, the bitterness, the rebellion against maybe you and them and even ourselves, because we're usually angry at three people when we're hurt: God, ourselves, and our offender. We confess it, not because our offender deserves it, because we deserve it. And we ask you to forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as your word says. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, we pray for our perpetrator. We pray for our offender. We may never be able to be in relationship with them. We may never even feel good about them, but we can pray for them. Your word says, pray for enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. So Lord, reach them. We know most of them became a perpetrator because they were also wounded, like my own parents. Lord, I pray any lies that they are believing about themselves that's not consistent with the truth of your word, that you would reveal it to their minds and they would think about what they're thinking about. They would cast them out, according to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, and they would fill their mind with the word that says not to be conformed to the world or Satan or lies, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we call down every stronghold in Jesus' name: depression, anxiety, fear, drug addiction, pornography, anything that has held them fast because they've practiced sin without repentance, trying to placate their wounds. And Lord, you are there every single time. There is nothing that anyone within the sound of my voice has ever done that you will not cleanse them from, heal them from, and forgive them for. And it's like they never did it. It's blotted out the Lamb's Book of Life, and they can go forward victorious for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, believe, and receive all these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. Come back and join us next time on the Totally Transformed Podcast.